Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us here at the Church of Salvation, Healing, and Deliverance for another biblical message. Should you desire to contact us, our email is cof.hkd7@gmail.com, and our website is cof.hkd.org. And you can pass this along for free and in original condition. I am Pastor T. John Franklin, and may our Lord Jesus Christ richly bless you and yours. Probably go through an interesting situation there, you know? The Bible says in the end times, judgment's going to begin in the house of the Lord. And throughout times in the Bible, the Lord has acted to correct situations that were not right. You're all familiar with the Acts 4 and 5 scenario of Ananias and Sapphira, which we will be going through. But also, you know, in the Old Testament, there's parallels to that as well, too. And I thought it'd be good to start off in Exodus chapter 4, because this is somebody who had to be dealt with by the Lord, who you really wouldn't think of having had to be dealt with the Lord, but you see, we're talking about Moses here, and he was specially prepared and anointed by the Lord for a special and mighty purpose. And the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And even though Moses made a lot less mistakes than most other people, he was more severely punished for the ones that he did make. You remember when he struck the rock when he should have spoken to it? That cost him going into the promised land. In fact, the Lord only let him see it there just before he passed away. Well, there was another case back in Exodus 4 there, where the Lord is preparing Moses to go out to take on Pharaoh for the release of his people. And so we'll start off beginning of the chapter, and we'll work our way through. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." And the Lord said unto him, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. "That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto these." So we're starting off in this situation. The Lord is talking to Moses, telling him what he wants him to do. And you can see Moses has got a touch of unbelief here. I think it's a quality just about everybody has. You know, unbelief will counter your faith and will hinder a lot of the work that the Lord is able to do through you. Remember, the Lord went back to his hometown, and there he was not able to do many miracles because of their lack of belief, their lack of faith. So we're going to have to keep a close line on that, especially work to get rid of it in these last days, because the attack of the enemy is increasing. The Lord is going to start pouring out his power as well, too. So if we're doubting what the Lord is able to do, we may get passed by. So the Lord works with Moses. He takes a very common object. Now, we don't have too many of these in this day and age, but remember, Moses for 40 years had been a shepherd. And the Lord points to him and says, "What's that?" Well, it's a rod. We're talking about a shepherd's staff, probably, you know, something that was, I don't know, 6-7 feet high, probably with a crook on the end or something like that, that he used for tending his sheep. The Lord tells him to cast it on the ground, and when he does, it becomes a serpent. Now, you can imagine if that had happened to you for the first time, you would be kind of afraid. I'm sure it was not a garter snake or a red belly or a grass snake or something like that. I'm sure it was something like one of the poisonous kind of snakes that were over in the desert. I know the movie The Ten Commandments portrays a cobra, but we don't know for sure. We'll have to wait to heaven. But whatever it is, it certainly scared Moses, and he took off. He just did not want to be around. And the Lord says unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. Now, that would take a bit of faith, don't you imagine? If you see a snake there, a pretty big snake, probably poisonous, and someone tells you to take it by the tail and pick it up. Certainly would take a lot of faith. I think this is probably where some of the guys in the back hills, they tie the scripture in with the other one about if they drink anything poison, picking up snakes, it won't be able to hurt them. And they go around, and once a year or so, they have a snake handling contest, so to speak. That's what happens when people twist the Bible around and they take it out of context. They'd have to be so careful, but we do not do that in this day and age. But anyways, Moses is obedient. He picks out his hand, takes it up, and it becomes a rod again. That would be certainly a faith-strengthening exercise, you have to admit. And what does the Lord say? The Lord says that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers hath appeared unto them. Now notice, this sign was more for the Hebrews to convince them that Moses was indeed sent from God for their release. And it's interesting, before he could have got the Israelites out of Egypt, he had to first convince them that he was God's messenger. Seems to be a lot of unbelief on the part of the Israelites, even though they'd been slaves for 400 years, they'd want to get out. But notice this verse. I like it because it says, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. This is the one verse I believe the Lord uses when he says God is not a God of the dead, but of the living, when he brings it right into the face of the Pharisees. Good to remember, it's a true and living God we serve. It's not a God of stone or wood or anything else. We are serving the Creator, and it's sad to see that through, especially the environmental movement, a lot of people are worshiping the created, and they kind of got it backwards. Anyways, going on to verse 6, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass that they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass that they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Again, the Lord is saying, okay, let's have another sign. You must admit, this is a pretty good sign to put in your hand in your coat or something and pull it out and it's left full of leprosy. That would be very, very convincing. Remember, leprosy was about the most feared disease back then because you didn't get well. In fact, you died. Sort of like AIDS. What it is today there, and the Lord has given an object lesson to Moses, and again, and his hand goes in and comes out, it is again healed completely better. Remember, the Lord had sort of had to go through this with Miriam on a later time as well, too, and her and Aaron, kind of. Or actually, when she was coming against Moses, the Lord had to deal with her. But anyways, the Lord gives him a third sign. Take some water out of the river and pour it, and now it's going to come as blood. And it's interesting, you know, it comes out as blood, not as oil, not as anything else but blood. Ties in with the blood all the way down from Genesis right to the end of the Revelation. So these signs here are basically for the God's people to convince them that Moses is the man of the Lord. But anyways, Moses, even though he's had these three tests, he wants to get out of it. And he says unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. The Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman of the people, and he shall be, even he shall be with thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do so. So Moses is kind of got a symptom. You can see he's afraid. He does not want to go. Whether it's fear of the future, whether it's fear of death, I don't know, but it's quite something that somebody who was a mighty warrior under the Egyptian system, and now he's going back to confront them. He's trying to turn around. You know, the Lord doesn't let him. And it's an interesting thing. When the Lord's got a hand in your life and he's got a plan and a purpose for you, remember, like Jonah, you can squirm and you can squeal, but if the Lord wants you to do something, one way or the other, he is going to see it worked out. And the Lord is working through Moses here. Even though Moses claims to be slow of speech and a slow tongue and not eloquent, well, I don't know exactly how true that is, but the Lord wasn't going to let him get away. And he's told him that Aaron is already on his way. See, the Lord knew in advance of what Moses was going to try and do and was going to try and squirm and squeal. Now, he wasn't going to let him off the hook. He might say he had too much invested in Moses. He had 80 years of preparation, and now you might say it's time for the payoff. And the Lord is going to get Moses to do what he'd have him do. But interesting, it's interesting in verse 11 it says, Who hath made man's mouth, or maketh the blind, the dumb, the deaf, or the seeing? This ties in with the chapter over in John where the man who was born blind from birth wasn't for his sin, it wasn't for the sin of his parents, but that God could be glorified. Might be kind of hard to take, but you have to remember about the potter and the clay there in Jeremiah 18. It's God who's in charge of the whole show, and we do better to work with him on his terms than trying to bash our heads against the wall. All we end up is with flat heads, or as the French say, the tête carrée there, you know. And they don't get too far, so better off to do it the way the Lord would have it done. And so anyways, down as it says, the Lord is going to give the word to speak. And I like what verse 15 it says. It says, He is going to be with his mouth and will teach you what you shall do. I think that still has application for us in today's day and age as well, too. We can ask the Lord that he will teach us what we shall do, and also that he'd be with our mouth as well, too, because, you know, we've gone through James there some months ago, and one of the favorite chapters there is dealing with the tongue and how dangerous it is and how much trouble and it can get people into. Yes, we definitely do need a guard over our mouth, but we don't say the things we're not supposed to. But anyways, God is setting Moses straight there and tells him, take this rod, don't forget it, and go, and let it go with you. But anyways, verse 18, And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses and Midian, Go return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons, and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return to Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. And then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son, and cast it at his feet, and said, Surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. Then she said, A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. So anyways, this is going on. Moses has finally been convinced that he's got to do what God has told him to do, so he's going through his father-in-law, Zipporah's father, going. And he packs up the whole family. And notice the Lord gives him the last word of, you might say, confirmation. For all the men which thought of thy life are dead. Remember the, you might say, the shady circumstances he left 40 years ago when he killed a taskmaster for abusing one of the Israelites. And that was well known. He thought it was secret. And what does the Bible say? Be sure your sins shall find you out. It does indeed. It may take a while, but it will come. So anyways, as he's going out, he packs them all up and he's going back to Egypt. And notice what it says there. It says, he took the rod of God in his hand. I believe this is something we can be using in deliverance and using against the evil ones. Also, the evil ones have rods as well, too. So I'd say don't hesitate to use it. Bring it against the evil one. Remember the rod of God turned into the serpent, which devoured the serpents of the evil ones. So I'm sure in today's deliverance scenario, it will have an equally effective impact as well, too. But anyways, over in 21, the Lord has set out what's going to happen. It is not going to be an easy time. Moses isn't just going to walk in and say, come on guys, we're leaving, and everybody packs up, no. He is going to be sure that Pharaoh, who had millions of slaves, was not going to let his free labor market go without a struggle. In fact, God has said that he is going to harden his heart so that he will not let his people go, so that he will be glorified and that he will deal with Egypt for all the hardships they have done upon his people over the past 400 years. Even draws the analogy of Israel being the firstborn of the Lord. And if Pharaoh doesn't let Israel go, God will deal with him. That's why the last plague, the slaying of the firstborn, where the Lord went and slew all the firstborn of the Egyptians and the animals as well, too. So as he's packed up and heading out, it's interesting. These verse 24, 25, and 6 might seem a bit strange, but you know, you kind of look at him in context of situation. Moses has been prepared by the Lord, and as he's going out, what would he have done so bad that the Lord, as it says here, would seek to kill him? I believe the clue is there in verse 25, where it says, the Lord took a sharp stone or knife and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet. Remember, a circumcision was the sign of the covenant back then, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. And God gave it to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and it kept going down. And Moses undoubtedly was familiar with it, I'm sure. He could not use ignorance as an excuse. Remember, the time to do it was on the eighth day. That was usually when to do it, so maybe Moses had a newborn baby, I don't know, but whatever happened, he had not circumcised his son, and this was such an offense to the Lord because it was a breaking of the covenant that, as it says, he was going to kill him. So Zipporah seizes up the situation, and immediately she knows what's going on, and that's where she performs the circumcision, which is amazing that it is accepted because it was supposed to be done by the priest back then. I think it's sort of a foreshadow of the passage in the Revelation about God raising up a nation of kings and priests of us with spiritual authority, and I believe this is the fourth the foreshadow of what's to come on in the later time, but whatever it is effective. Like he says, surely a bloody husband art thou. There's also the shedding of blood, which undoubtedly aids in turning back the, you might say, the, what the Lord has planned to do. So the Lord lets him go, and again she reiterates that a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. And I was reading a book there called The Chemistry of Blood by a guy called DeHaan, which I made mention of, and he said the appointed 8 days was the really the only time to do it. It was that point where the clogging agents of the blood were formed enough to heal it up, but it was also at the point where the antibodies that were passed from the mother into the baby were still strong enough to fight off any infection. If it occurred any earlier, the blood wouldn't clot and the baby could bleed to death. And if it happened any later, there wouldn't be enough antibodies in the blood to fight any infection that might have set in. So you see, when God sets up the standards, he usually knows what's going on. And actually, scientists have proven that both men and women have a lower rate of cancer because of the Jews being circumcised as well, too. So it has been medically proven. It is beneficial. We're not saying we need it on the grounds of winning our way into heaven, but I figure if God has something here, there must be a good reason for it. So anyways, once Moses gets his little escapade over, he goes and he meets Aaron, and they tell him everything, what's going on. And over in verse 31, he does the signs, and it says, and the people believed when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, that he had looked upon their affliction when they bowed their heads and worshipped. So you might say convincing God's people wasn't too hard when they saw the signs and the wonders. Yes, they did believe. It reminds me of, it says in the end times there are going to be signs and wonders, and the Pope fit with Fatima is coming up in just over a month away, I believe. We still should be praying about that. Try to bind up anything that's working false signs and wonders. Try to delay this as much as possible. Here's another case over Numbers, which we're dealing with Balaam here. Remember, mighty prophet of the Lord, even that prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Numbers 22, 3, and 4. Now, I'm not going to read all the chapters, but I'll leave them for you there if you want. Numbers 22, verse 22, basically is Balaam is saddled up on an ass, and he wants to go get his money, so he's going over to Balak. And it says, and God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him, and the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword was drawn in his hand, and the ass turned his side out of the way, and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyard, a wall being on this side and the wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way either to turn to the left or to the right. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me. I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell on his face. And it goes on and basically says, and the ass saw me and turned from me these three times, unless she had turned from me, surely now also I have had a flamey and saved her life. It's been quite an interesting account here how somebody who's a mighty prophet of God can get so turned aside by greed, and I won't get too much into it because we have dealt with it in the past, but, you know, one thing it does bring out, you get tied up in anything more so and you set it up as an idol, it will block your progress with the Lord. It will block your spiritual senses, your spiritual gifts with the Lord. That, Balaam was not even able to see the angel Lord, whereas the ass was, which was quite an interesting feat. And it was only after the Lord opened his eyes again, which should have been opened in the first time. Remember, Elisha with his servant, eh? Remember in that little town of, Dothan, and the evil ones were surrounded around him. The Lord opened his eyes. What did he see? He saw the angel of the Lord's army standing there waiting to fight them. Wouldn't that be interesting for us in deliverance to have our eyes open to see the thousands, not thousands, tens of thousands of angels the Lord has fighting on our behalf? Certainly be a faith booster, but I'm sure the Lord doesn't allow it because he knows that we could well be tempted to be seeking those kinds of spiritual signs for which Satan would love to put in counterfeits and lead us astray. So I think it's more for our protection than anything else. But anyways, the Lord was willing to depart with Balaam because he had been disobedient and he was getting out of the way. So anyways, I thought that would be good to, as Old Testament. Now over in the Acts 4 and 5 as I was talking about, you know, as I believe we're coming down into the end times, I believe the Lord is working to start purifying the church to get it back to what it should be. And, you know, as the mixed multitude in the old days caused Moses nothing but trouble, caused Ezra and Nehemiah nothing but trouble. Well, we got a mixed multitude today all throughout us, I'm sure causing nothing but trouble. And, as it says, judging begins in the house of the Lord, so I'll bring this to your attention that, you know, you can take a serious look at it. Because, I believe one of the things the Lord wants to do in the body of Christ is a growth, is of spiritual maturity. And, I believe we've probably had too many blessings in the past which have been blocking us from growing more in the Lord, you know. We basically had our needs, our food, our clothing, our shelter and other things provided. We, don't have to be praying as much for them as our persecuted brothers and sisters all over the world are having to do. And, so I think the Lord is going to work at turning that around. We'll pick it up at, verse, well, one thing I just want to mention, 23. There's a concept here ran into in deliverance some years ago where somebody was casting out demons by the Holy Child Jesus, and this is very disturbing because when the Lord Jesus Christ sent out his disciples, they were commanded to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Chapter 4, the Holy Child Jesus is mentioned down in verse 27, and it's also mentioned over in verse 30. Talking about the Holy Child Jesus. I'll pick it up at 27 there. For of a truth against thy Holy Child Jesus, against whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants, that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy Holy Child Jesus. Now, I firmly believe there should be a comma between child and Jesus to show that there is a distinction, because, otherwise, you see how you can get off into the, if you start dwelling too much on the child Jesus, you sort of get back into the Madonna and child imagery, and that goes way back to Babylon, the mother and son. So I believe people can and have taken this out of context, and you gotta be gotta be so careful. You see, when they were speaking here, I believe they referred to the Holy Child as saying the case of Matthew, who was mainly writing for the Jews, showing that Jesus was the fulfillment of prophecy. I believe that was more the background, from where this is coming. And, so I believe, we shouldn't be casting out in, like, say, by the Holy Child Jesus. We do it by the authority and the power the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. It's when he was crucified and resurrected. That's where the power of Satan was broken. So, it's just one sort of aside there to watch out for. But anyways, getting down into 31, that's the main part I was wanting to deal with there. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that out of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was termed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Here we have the mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and the things that it was accomplishing. Speaking the word of God with boldness, that's something definitely is needed today, especially by preachers and pastors in pulpits, that they will preach the word of God and not be ashamed of it. And as a result of it, preaching the word, we have a multitude of them that believed, and they were of one heart and one soul. This is important to take a case like in Hegwisch, where they say the evil ones are trying to infuse strife and fighting in there, because they know that where the people are joined together in one, that it is very hard to fight against them. And the people here, they're joined of one heart and of one soul. Interesting the way they're tied in together. See, when you're led by the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter where you're coming from. Say the Lord can use you in this. The people were reaching out and helping each other. They were selling everything they had and sharing it. Now, I know the socialists love this verse because they say, aha, see, everybody's sharing with everybody else. You see, that's the way it should be. But their system leaves out the most important reason why the people were willing to share, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The socialist system is an atheistic one where they do not believe in God, and they don't want to have anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can see how socialism is the counterfeit on what the Lord would have done. You know, this is good because it shows it was combating selfishness. Now, there's a lot of selfishness, I'd say, going on, especially in the body of Christ. I know at work that has come up a lot over the last couple of weeks, where people look and they sort of see the grass is greener on the other side, and I know myself, people are wanting the shift they thought I had because it was better, so they all complained, and they've had the shift that has been changed around, but well, that doesn't matter. It gives me more time to pray over the MPs, because I'll be on the other shift to be there later, so I know the Lord can work this whole thing out. It doesn't matter. We just have to be flexible. But anyways, he's given them great power, the apostles, witnesses of the resurrection, and with the power is grace. And that's important as well, because if you don't have grace, you can get hard, get legalistic, and it's not good. But because they were able to reach out and help each other, it says they didn't lack anything. And you know, when we're praying, asking the Lord to give us our daily bread, we're asking basically for the, you might say, the necessities of life. And most of us have more than the necessities of life, so we should be willing to help each other as the Lord would have us. And some of the things they did were they sold their possessions, lands, houses, etc., and they brought the money. And we have one excellent example here of a man called Joseph. For what he did, he sold his place and he gave the whole amount, laid it at the apostles' feet. But then we get into a situation over in chapter 5, and it says a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing his words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours later, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carried her forth, and buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. So here we have the continuation of that. You know, in the chapter 4 we had the true love of the Lord being showed by people reaching out and helping each other. Remember the new commandment the Lord gave, that others would know that they are believers because they love, they have one for another. And just as that was effective 2,000 years ago, it should still be in effect today. But we have a certain couple here who saw what was done. They wanted the glory and they wanted the fame, but they didn't want the hardship that went with it. You have to sort of tie it into Simon the Sorcerer, even though he apparently believed and was baptized. He wanted to buy the Holy Spirit and the gift with money so that he could use it as well, too. And that shows that something definitely was not right. Something definitely is not right with Ananias and Sapphira. I'm assuming they're believers, but we don't know for sure. Anyways, they seem to be in the company. They obviously wanted to make a name for themselves. And, you know, they are contriving in a bit of, if it's in the flesh and they cheat somebody, it's a criminal offense. And in the spirit realm, it is just as deadly on their part anyways. Because the Lord chose at this point in time to deal with this situation here and now before it had gotten any worse. And just as Adam and Eve were dealt with for their sin, so Ananias and this case and Sapphira as well were dealt with. Because as it says, even though they are apparently lying to Peter and the apostles, they are really lying unto God. They are lying unto the Holy Ghost. They are tempting, as it says in verse 9, the Spirit of the Lord. And that was not to be tolerated with. And, you know, it's amazing. The Lord gave Peter the gift that was needed, the word of knowledge. And he had well knew that Ananias had not given the full amount. And he told him where it come from. He said, Satan has filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. And that was it, sort of point blank. And to keep back part of the price of the land. And you know, it sort of ties it in with scriptures coming out of the Old Testament. Basically, when you make a vow to the Lord, I know Numbers 30 has a lot dealing with vows, that you should make sure that you fulfill your vows to the Lord, because he is going to hold you accountable. Now, if you have broken it, well, you can confess to the sin and deal with it that way, but still, I remember who was it he was going to pay his vows that they had promised. should be a good standard for us as well, too. And as Peter is going through, he said, well, hey, look, at the land was yours. You didn't have to do it. I didn't force you. God didn't force you. We didn't force you to give all the money. It was yours to do with what you wanted. But he says, why do you conceive in your heart lying unto God? And I believe in the body of Christ, there is a lot of this that is going on. There is a lot of game playing. And I think it probably crosses all the denominational boards quite equally. And in these end times, I believe the Lord is going to start having more, you might say, examples of Ananias and Sapphira. You know, you take a look at the seven sons of Sceva. They were going out trying to do deliverance, but they lacked the important ingredients. They lacked the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were not firmly rooted. And the demons in one man kind of beat up seven other men, exorcists, and they went running. And I know after we ran into that a few years ago and started praying for it, we ran across the article in the paper that, I guess over in Spain, that sort of seven sons of Sceva syndrome had manifested in a priest who was trying to cast out demons without proper authority. He kind of got eaten up by a ball of fire. Well, people are playing games when they're taking on this supernatural, and if they're playing games, if they are not firmly rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why it's important that we have to be firmly rooted on the rock, that we cannot be playing any games. There can be no room for things that are going on. That's why spiritual maturity should be our goal, that as things are getting worse in the world, and they are getting worse. I mean, you take a look at the Middle East, you take a look at Europe coming together, now North America is coming together. We are definitely flying into the end times if we're not already there. And we are going to have to do everything in our power to get ourselves ready to meet the challenge that is coming up. And I believe there will be examples of this that is going on. I remember, I think it was Moody, or one of the famous evangelists, was preaching, and there were more than a few people over his course, and some of them even were ministers that fell down dead in his service. And I believe they were mocking God, and he had had enough of it, and he just said, that's enough, buddy. Today you shall give account. And that's why I think we have to be very, very careful. Ananias found out the hard way. His wife came in later, and she follows the line of her husband in tempting the Spirit of the Lord. Now, you know, the Bible does say women are to obey their husbands, but we're all firmly rooted on the rock, and if it comes to something like this, there definitely should be, say, I'm not going to do with that. And we're going to have to know that Christ comes first, and everything else comes after. Because, you see, she pays her mistake as well, too. And the young men have just come in from burying her husband, and they pick her up, and they take her out as well, too. And what is the end result? Great fear comes upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Quite interesting that it said, it puts that fear came upon the church. Now, why did the Lord have this part put first in the verse and not fear on the outsiders? Because you can see, you know, how sure fear would come on the outsiders when they can see. But I think this was a great correcting measure that was needed at the church at that time to show them enough is enough, you know. So it's a great move of the Lord, but we cannot have anything interfere with it. We cannot have any game playing. We cannot have spiritual immaturity. There is no room for it. And the same thing, I believe, is concurrent for today's church as well, too. There is too much game playing, and I believe the Lord is beginning to straighten it out and to clear it out so that he can work mightily. And, you know, you could probably find other examples in the Bible based on this as well, too. But I think the scriptures show the principle is there in the Old Testament, that Moses and Balaam, they were disobedient to the Lord. They were mighty people, and the Lord required a lot of them. Over here in the New Testament with Ananias and Sapphira, the church was going out into a new sphere. It was reaching out into all the world, and God was not going to put up with foolishness and disobedience, but he was going to say, enough is enough is enough. And really, you know, that's I guess that's the way it should be, you know, that we got to keep ourselves clean and pure. We got to keep the body of Christ clean and pure. I mean, doesn't it make us all look bad when, you know, people are arrested for on criminal charges like what has gone on a few years ago? It doesn't make any of us look good, you know. And, worst of all, it makes the Lord Jesus Christ look bad. And we don't want that. We want people, one looking at us, working with us, to see the Lord Jesus Christ living in and through us, working through us.
Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name.
We do thank you for the blessings you've given us. Thank you for guiding us through the scriptures. We just ask that we get as much healing and deliverance today, dear, from the areas of pride and from everything else that is hindering us from following you the way you would have us follow you. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind the strong lower, the ruling spirits over, the principality over, and all evil spirits in our each and every one of us. And the whole meeting here as well, too. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loose legion, strong warrior angels, break communication between Satan, the boundless, bound themselves, those strong reinforcements to getting in. Also, as all the evil ones are leaving here, I command them to go straight to Tartarus based on Jude 6 and the Lord Jesus Christ, and I forbid them from coming back as well, so we pack up and we head out. Also, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take authority over all the evil spirits. I bind to my authority, release obedience and submission upon them, and I bind upon them based on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, which position is stated that the Lord Jesus high above kings, princes, principalities, all those guys are higher than that. I command you to start packing up in it right now. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Also, in the Lord Jesus Christ, I break all curses, device, witchcraft, psychic prayers, psychic powers, hexes, vexes, spells, things that fight the power of sorcery, bewitching, enchantments, witchcraft, love potions. I break off all evil designs, dedications, all evil plans and purposes. I break off all evil devices of religious witchcraft that undoubtedly come against us, whether from New Age, RC, socialist, whatever. I break them off in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. I break off the excommunications. I break off the crystals, the candles, the rosaries, the scapulars, everything else, the nozenas, everything else, candle power, I break it off of, and everything of ours in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I break it off in the name of the Lord Jesus. I return it immediately to the original senders. The angels get the senders' protection off, put their stuff on, and put their protection back on. I also break off all curses coming down the family line that might be giving pride and Leviathan legal ground to stay as well, too. I cut these off in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the way back to Adam and Eve and all the sides of the family. Also, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I break all evil, sympathetic, or ungodly soul ties to trust in any of your dead or anything. Angels go to what you have to gather all the fragmented pieces of soul, fixing mind, will, and emotion, restore them to wholeness, and drive out the evil that has taken its place. Also, I break all covenants we may have made with demons as well, too, especially the covenant of the promise that that's as far as I'm going to go. I won't go any further. I break that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will go as far as the Lord would have us go. Otherwise, it's going to get rough and mean, as other ones in the Bible have found out the hard way. I also cover all of us in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, too, and I bring the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ against each and every one of you foul and evil spirits. You are defeated. You are defeated by Calvary's cross, the blood that was shed there. So you start packing up and out right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I break every legal ground and authority you have for staying. You hear that? Every legal ground and authority you have for staying is broken. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by his precious blood. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I release the angels that go cut every root, bond, band, fetter, coil, tie, tangle, serpent, cord, metal, wire, hair, and web, etc. That's holding these evil ones in. I cut them off. If any evil ones have been bound in to prevent deliverance, I cut these off in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If any evil ones have been bound in to limit deliverance, I cut these off in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command you evil ones to manifest, to get up to the surface and out right now. You hear that? Get up and out right now. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Loose and let go. Loose and let go. Each and every one of you, get up in it right now. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Pack it up in it right now. Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We want them only for the Lord. So anything that's defiling it, get out. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Also, Heavenly Father, we ask you to pour all your instruments of burning death and destruction upon all the foul and evil ones as you did upon the gods of Egypt. We ask for similar things here. like the ground being opened up. Throw them live into the pit. How about they pass with a fiery flying serpent, or the flying fiery serpent there, to attack and destroy all foul and evil ones? Ask the rod of God and be brought against all these foul and evil ones, that they will be destroyed and annihilated. Ask that all the rods of the evil ones and their scepters will be destroyed and smashed. They will not be able to summon up their power. I also call for legions and legions of the Lord's strongest angels in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, with all the weapons in the heavenly army, to attack and destroy the evil ones. Attack and destroy. Show them as much mercy as they've been showing us, and annihilate them completely. See foul and evil things, loose, and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you, loose, and let go. I also declare civil war in Satan's kingdom as well, too. That's right, I command you once to attack and destroy each other instantly and continuously. Keep it up, you're not allowed to stop. Get out. Get out right now. Get up and out right now. The Lord Jesus Christ will be a good. I lose the fear of the Lord against you, evil one. So pack it up and out. I lose the hounds of heaven against you. I lose the spirits of Elijah and Jehu against you. Get up and out. I lose the light of the Lord. That's right, you're all exposed. Get him, angels. Attack and destroy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I also am loosing everything else. The hornets of the Lord, I loose these against you, foul and evil ones, and I bind them upon you. You can't get away from them. They're coming, they're stinging you. They're going to stick to you. You cannot get away from them. Only thing for you is to get up and out right now. Now loose and let go. Especially all the ones in the area of pride. I command you to get up and out. That's Leviathan and company. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. I call for the deep fishes of the Lord. Go down with the hook. Put them in them. Bind them up with a big, strong neck and pull them up and out. I want them gone. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Bring them up on the beach there, angels. That's right. I call upon the fowl of the air and the beasts of the earth to attack and destroy. I also ask, Lord, if you break the heads of Leviathan, feed them the inhabitants of the wilderness. I also claim Isaiah 27, where it talks about the punishment on Leviathan. I just ask, Lord, that your punishment be on Leviathan, that it would be destroyed and annihilated. I also break all the legal grounds and the holds. I break all the ties that are tied in with her between Leviathan and Orion. I break these in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. I break them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Angels, continue to attack and destroy these foul and evil things. Cut off its power source. Cut off its energy. Isolate, attack, and destroy each and everyone. All the ones of pride. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you, loose and let go. All the spirits of Moab tied in with pride as well, too. You get up and ask Heavenly Father for your punishment on the Moabites to be loosed upon all these foul and evil ones. They will be destroyed and annihilated. These foul and evil things, loose and let go. All the ones of idolatry, loose and let go. Angels, go in there and smash all the idols that have been set up. Smash them and destroy them. Power and unfruitfulness, you loose and let go. All the ones of power and unfruitfulness, loose and let go. The unfruitful spirits that are trying to make us unfruitful Christians, unfruitful in the ways of the Spirit, or unfruitful in deliverance, you unfruitful spirits, loose and let go. Angels, attack and destroy and drive them up. All doorkeepers and gatekeepers and shrine keepers, all blocking and hindering spirits, loose and let go. Angels, go in there, rip off the evil one's armor, rip it off, set their feet in the mire, attack and destroy. Smash the gates of iron and the bars of brass, smash their walls and their foundations, smash their pillars, burn them out with coals off the altar of heaven, and bring the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ liberally against these foul and evil ones. Show them that they have been defeated. Now you evil ones, get out. Do you hear me? I said the Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Get up in it right now, loose, and let go. All the spirits of arrogance. All the spirits of arrogance, get up in it right now. That's right, arrogance. Loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. All the ones of being stiff-necked and disobedient. Rebellion, disobedience, stiff-necked, loose and let go. Loose and let go. The doorkeeper of rebellion, I think Satan, get up in it right now. Angels, attack and destroy. Attack and destroy and drive it up and out. I want it gone. Loose and let go. The ones of stiff-necked and disobedient. Loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. All the ones of ignorance. Loose and let go. Blissful ignorance. Loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. the spirit of what you know can't hurt you, get up in it right now. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Loose and let go. The ones of dead works, the evil spirits of dead works, get up on it right now. That's right, dead works. Loose and let go. And of course the ones of legalism tied in with that as well. So legalism, dead works. Loose and let go. Are there any ties tying us into anybody or any system of legalism or dead works? I cut this off in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I cut off in the name of the Lord Jesus all control holds on us. Mind, will, and emotions, or any witchcraft control holds. Any other kind of control holds on us, I cut them off in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you foul and evil things, get out right now. Lord, if there's anyone else controlling us we are not aware of, I ask that you bring it to our attention that it can be exposed and dealt with. You foul and evil things, loose and let go. Loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. All the evil ones of vanity. Vanity. What did Solomon say? Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. You vain spirits, get up on it right now. Loose and let go. Of course, Leviathan in there, you get up and out as well, too. Angels, cut off all the holes it has over the underlings. Attack and destroy. Bring it all the ones under Leviathan. Bring them up and out. Bring them up and out. I want them gone. Bring them up and out. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Now loose and let go. All the ones under Leviathan. Loose and let go. The ones of pride, all the lesser spirits, I don't care where you're in, get out. I don't care if you came down the family line, get out. I don't care if you came in through religious institutions, get out. I don't care how you got in, get out. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. I loose the spirits of the Lord, which are the natural enemies of these evil ones, to attack and destroy them. That's right. Attack and destroy. I loose the Lord's spirits of humility to attack and destroy the ones of pride and all the other ones that are there as well, too. The evil ones of pride, get out. Get out. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Loose and let go. All the ones of persecution tied in with there as well, too. Loose and let go. Boasting, get up and out. Prideful looks, loose and let go. The prideful looks, the nose up in the air, and all that other ones, the ones of haughtiness, etc., snobbery, loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Loose and let go. The deception, all the ones of deception, Satan, the doorkeeper, deception, get up and out. A will to be deceived, get up and out right now. All the ones of deception, loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Loose and let go. All the lying and contemptuous spirits, loose and let go. Lying spirits, religious lying spirits, get up and out right now. Loose and let go. Angels, attack and destroy and drive them up and out. I command you once to get up and out right now. Lying, religious lying spirits, loose and let go. The spirits of contempt, loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Any ones of anti-submissiveness to godly authority, get up and out right now. Loose and let go. The ones of foot of pride, angels, cut off the foot of pride, attack and destroy and drive it up and out. The foot of pride, loose and let go. Again, the deception demons, get up and out. Cursing and lying, the demons of cursing and lying, get up and out. The angels cut the cord twixt them, drive them out. Cursing and lying, loose and let go. Angels, cut off pride compassing as a chain. Cut off all the chains that pride has in us. Cut off each and every one or anything else. Any bands in us, cut them off, angels, especially around our minds and our heads. Cut off these bands in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cut off the rope. Cut off whatever else they've got on us. Cut them off, angels. All the ones of violence, get up and out. The ones of false prosperity, get up and out. The ones of corruption, get up and out. Now, the ones of corruption which are draining our strength, as well as trying to wear down our physical body through sickness and diseases. The ones of corruption, get up on it right now. Corruption, loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Loose and let go. Loose and let go. Up on it right now. Corruption, get up on it. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. All the ones of oppression, loose and let go. Angels, cut off all the ones of oppression. That's right. Attack and destroy. Prattless and company, the Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. the Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you, proudless. Now get up and out right now. All the ones of boasting, get up and out. Bragging, blasphemy, and rebellion. Blasphemy, especially against God. Get up and out right now. Loose and let go. Loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. All the ones of violence, loose and let go. Slander and high look. The ones of slander, loose and let go. The high look, haughtiness, loose and let go. Error, all the ones of error, loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Mocking, scorn, up and out. Lying, shame, perverseness, all the spirits of perverseness, loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. All the ones of pits, loose and let go. Loose and let go. Lord, I ask that all the pits, snares, traps, and nets, evil ones of Seth Preston be turned back upon them, and they'll fall into what they have dug for us. All the ones of scorning, loose and let go. Loose and let go. Angels, cut off the nooses, the gins that have been set up for us as well, too. Okay, the ones of a proud look, loose and let go. The ones of shame, contention, foolishness. The ones of foolishness, loose and let go. The rod of pride, get up in it right now. I loose the rod of God to combat the rod of pride. I command these evil ones to get up in it right now. Loose and let go. Destruction, haughtiness, high look, proud heart, loose and let go. The proud and haughty scorner, loose and let go. Proud wrath, get up in it. Proud wrath, loose and let go. Strife, the ones of strife, troublemaking spirits, loose and let go. Ones trying to make church wars, etc., loose and let go. Gamaliel Company, get up and out. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Destruction, death and destruction, get up and out. Impatience, loose and let go. Impatience, get up and out right now. Loose and let go. Loose and let go. The ones of impatience, get up and out right now. The ones of being lofty, the ones of loftiness, loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. And disrespect and disobedience to parents and elders. Disrespect for authority. Loose and let go. All these spirits of disrespect. Loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Disobedience. Rebellion. Get up in it right now. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Loose and let go. The ones of oppression and confusion tied in with there as well too. Confusion. Loose and let go. Angels, go cut the ones of confusion off our minds. And set our minds free. The ones of confusion, get up and out. Arrogance, haughtiness, loose and let go. Wrath and lying, loose and let go. Loose and let go. All the evil ones of the crown of pride, drunkard and wine. Angels, smash the crown of pride and rip it off and pull out everything that goes with it. The crown of pride, get up and out. All the ones of drunkenness or the alcoholic syndrome, loose and let go. All the ones of the alcoholic syndrome, loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. The whole alcoholic syndrome, get up in it. I don't care if you come in through the family line or whatever else, get out. Loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Loose and let go. Loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. The ones of imagination, idolatry, great pride, all the ones of great pride, loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. All the other ones in there, gluttony, all the ones of gluttony tied in with Leviathan and pride, loose and let go. Slothfulness, idleness, loose and let go. All those ones again of gluttony, slothfulness, and idleness, loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Angels, attack and destroy. And drive them up and out. I want them gone. Attack and destroy them, angels, and drive them up and out. I want them gone. All the ones of greed tied in with here, which leading to sexual impurity, loose and let go. Greed. All the ones of sexual impurity, loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Loose and let go. Get up and out. All the ones of a hard heart, and get up and out right now. The hard heart, loose and let go. All whoredom spirits, loose and let go. Whoredoms, loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Both physical and spiritual, loose and let go. Loose and let go. the Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Any ones of adultery that might be in there making trouble, get up and out right now, loose, and let go. Up and out right now. All the ones of boasting, all the ones of boasting, loose and let go. Reproach, loose and let go. Condemnation, get up and out right now, loose and let go. Ignorance, the spirits of ignorance, loose and let go. The lawyer spirit, the spirits of the Pharisees, the religious spirits, loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Loose and let go. The spirit of the Pharisees, the spirit of lawyers. Loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Get up and out right now. The ones of disputing, questioning, get up and out right now. Disputing and questioning, loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Having to have the last word as well, too, and backtalking, get up and out right now, loose and let go. Get up and out, the Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. The ones of strife, of envy, of blasphemy, loose and let go. Strife, envy, and blasphemy, get up and out right now. Suspicion, arguing, greed, lust, and deceit, loose and let go. Suspicions, arguing, loose and let go. All the ways of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, as well as the spirit of the world, get up and out. Angels, cut the four cord there. Drive them out. That's lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, and spirit of the world. Spirit of the world, get up and out right now. Loose and let go. Loose and let go. Anyone's an Antichrist tied in with there as well, too. You might as well pack it up it as well, too. The ones of Antichrist, loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Loose and let go. All the other ones there under Leviathan, get up and out right now, such as mourning, spiritual darkness, loose and let go. All the ones of spiritual darkness, loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Arrogance, spiritual pride, loose and let go. Using logic, ego, little pride, rationalization, all these ones under Leviathan and company, get out. I command you to get up and out right now, loose and let go. Justification and all the things of God, loose and let go. All the blocks on earth that are blocking our mind or any other part of us, get up and out. Angels, cut off all the blocks Leviathan has in us, on our minds, our nervous system, our retention of knowledge, etc. Loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Loose and let go. All evil ones that are hindering our spiritual growth, get up and out right now. All the evil ones that are hindering our spiritual growth, loose and let go. Now, that's all the blocking and the hindering spirits, the ones that say are causing problems with praying or with reading the Bible or whatever else. All the blocking and hindering spirits, loose and let go. Angels attack and destroy and drive them up and out. I want them gone. Now, I speak to these evil ones, as the Lord said, if they had enough faith, we could speak them out and be picked up and tossed. I speak to the mountain of the evil ones under pride and Leviathan. Be picked up and be tossed into the deepest part of the sea. Angels also tie big millstones around their necks as well, too, just to make sure they get to the bottom nice and quick. All you evil ones, get out right now. Get out right now. And as the Lord cursed the fig tree, I tell you, evil ones, shall not bear any more fruit. Dry up and wither right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dry up and wither right now. Loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Loose and let go. All the evil ones that causes disturbance or distractions, concentration, taking our concentration off Bible study or prayer, you lose and let go. The ones that try to make us go to sleep, cause weariness and worship services, etc., you lose and let go. Angels attack and destroy the huge sea serpent coil in the abdomen. Uncoil it. I call for the serpent of the Lord to attack and destroy the sea one. I call for the rod of God to attack and destroy it as well, too. Evil ones, get out. Get out right now, loose and let go. Angels, uncoil this huge sea serpent or cut it up and take it up and out. I want it gone. All the ones causing brooding, melancholy, depression, etc., gloominess, mental dejection, and irascibility, you loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Loose and let go. Now, Rahab, the dragon of pride, get up and out. Rahab, the dragon of pride, get up and out. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Loose and let go. Loose and let go. Get up and out right now. Get up and out right now. I call for the natural enemies of the Lord to fight this evil one here of the dragon. attack, and destroy. The evil ones, get out right now. Get out right now. I also ask, Lord, that the natural habitat of the dragon and leviathan, which is water, would be turned into blood as it was in Egypt, that it will not be able to survive in there. The evil ones, get out right now. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. All ones of Orion tied in there, you pack it up and out right now. Name the Lord Jesus, I break the cords twixt Leviathan and Orion or any other ones in the name of Lord Jesus. And I command all Orion and the religious spirits to get up and out right now. That's right. All religious spirits tied in with pride, countering it, or hiding pride, countering the work of the Holy Spirit, loose them. So all the counterfeit spirits there, the counterfeit spirits of pride, being a counterfeit for the Holy Spirit and blocking it, loose and let go. Angels go in there, dig out all the evil spirits that are layered in and around our spirit, trying to block the flow of God's Holy Spirit. I dig them out, angels, all of them. I want the big ones out, too. I want the big ones out, not just the little ones, and I command the big ones to get up and out right now, to loose and let go. Loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Loose and let go. All the ones of Absalom, rebellion against godly authority, get up and out right now, loose and let go. All the ones of pride, vanity, rebellion, and deception, seduction, treachery, loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. All ones of mind idolatry, vanity, perfection, competition, schizo, loose and let go. All ones of self-righteousness, and all the self-righteous spirits there, loose and let go. The ones that say, I don't have any pride, I don't need to get rid of it, you loose and let go. That's right, the self-righteous spirits, get up and out right now. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you, loose and let go. Angels, continue to attack and destroy all these evil ones, drive them up and out, I want them gone. Loose and let go. All the ones of haughtiness and importance, loose and let go. The ones with arrogance and self-deception and ego, loose and let go. Get up on it right now. Get up on it right now. Now all the evil spirits, especially of pride, which are blocking our spiritual maturity, you loose and let go. Anything that's blocking us, throwing with the Lord, get up on it right now. I don't care what you are, get out. And I want the big ones out as well too, so you loose and let go. Come on. The Lord Jesus Christ to be a good... The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you, loose and let go. Whatever is blocking our spiritual growth, get up on it right now. Loose and let go. All of you, whatever is blocking our spiritual growth, get up on it right now. Loose and let go. Loose and let go. All of you, I command you all to manifest, not just a few little ones. I want the big ones out. Get out. Get out. All of you, get up and out. The Lord Jesus Christ to be with you. The Lord Jesus Christ to be with you. Loose and let go. Loose and let go. All of you, get up and out right now. Get up and out right now. Each and every one of you, get up and out right now. Get up and out right now. Loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ to be with you. Now all evil ones of infirmity, sicknesses, weaknesses, deformities, accidents, impotence, corruption, etc. Loose and let go. The death and aging hormones, get up and out. All the evil ones in our immune system, on our hormone system, afflicting it, get up and out right now. All evil ones afflicting our hormones and our immune system, loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. All evil ones on the systems of the body, reproductive, skeletal, muscular, digestive, excretory, endocrine, respiratory, nervous, circulatory, loose and let go. Loose and let go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. All evil ones on the systems of the body, get out right now. Get out right now. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ is with you, loose and let go. And any other ones, the Lord wants out right now. It doesn't matter what they are, but if the Lord wants them out, loose and let go. Loose and let go. Hurry up, pack it up and out. If the Lord wants you out, get out. Each and every one of you, get out right now. the Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. You hear that? It is the Lord Jesus Christ that rebukes you now. Get out. Get out. Our bodies are the holy temple, or the, our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We have no room for you. We do not want you. We renounce you, evil ones, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now get out. Get out. Get out right now. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Loose and let go. Loose and let go. So then, the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I bind up all the foul and nasty critters left. Angels, go bind them up strong and tight. Get chains, feed them right out, souls off the altar of heaven. Wrap them up in such a way individually they won't be able to cause problems. Put them in bags, put them in boxes, small as possible, put them in caves. The light of the Lord is shining bright and rocks over the caves. Agents are reading scriptures and praising the Lord continuously and harmoniously as well. So, also call upon you, Lord Jesus, as you calm the evil ones that will rip up the storms. We ask that you calm the evil ones that are ripping up the various storms in our life as well. So, and I cover us again, blood of the Lord Jesus, and loose allegiance to the righteous spirits, Lord, such as life, health, healing, restoration, well-being, sound mind, good night, sleep. I also ask, Lord, for lots of the spirits of yours that would lead to greater spiritual maturity. We also ask for greater gifts of healing and deliverance as well. So, and again, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done. So in Jesus' mighty name and by his blood, amen. I would like to thank everybody for joining me here today as we study the Word of God. Aren't there so many blessings and promises in it that God has for us? But the best one he has is eternal life. It's free, and it's offered to everybody. I would challenge everybody to examine themselves, as Paul said, to see if they be in the faith. And if things are lacking, there's no better day than today, because today is the day of salvation. I know the devil will tell you, you don't have to do it. You don't have to win anything. Well, says Romans 14:12, everybody is going to have to give account of themselves. Everybody. And in case the devil tries sin, you're not that bad. Well, it's Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But being good is not good enough. You have to be godly. And you can only do it through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, our Lord shows us there's two options. Again, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal. That's the way it is. There's two choices. It's God's way or it's the other way. The other way is no good. You don't want that. I don't want to see anyone go that way, but you know, because of the sin of Adam, that's where humanity is going. Everybody is going that road until they get born again. You say, well, is it really like that? Well, you know, there's Romans 6:23. Yep. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal. You know, that's followed up by Romans 3:20, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone. So, what's it going to be? I want the best for everybody. You want to maximize your manhood or your womanhood? You got to do it the way our Lord Jesus Christ says. You know, the Holy Spirit is working in each and every one, convicting you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So what are you going to do? You're going to turn away? The devil's best lie is, don't do it today. Do it tomorrow. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. You can get saved an hour before you die. Those people who go that road, they usually never get around to it because many times they die suddenly and they just don't have time for that. I don't want to see that happen to anybody. You know, if you had the winning multi-million dollar ticket, you would be running down to collect it immediately. You know, that's what eternal life is. It's better than that. Because it can't be taxed.
your bank's not going to go under and take your money. Your treasure's in heaven. You're going to collect everything when you go to be there. But you know, you got to confess your sins. You got to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Call upon Him as your Lord and Savior. You know, He's knocking at the door of your heart, as it says in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I will enter and come in with him. Yes? The Lord is waiting for you to invite Him in. You say, well, what happens when I do that? Well, God's Holy Spirit will come into you upon salvation, will clean up your spirit, and will seal you under the day of redemption. Yes, right. You know, when you leave this world because you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be up in heaven forever and ever and ever. You're not going to be floating around in nothingness, no purgatory. You go to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great thing that is. And it is eternal security because of John 10:27-28, where our Lord Himself says, nobody can take you out of my Father's hand. Nobody can take you out of my hand. Nobody's greater than us, our Lord said. You can take that to the bank. So what are you going to do? Our Lord Jesus Christ is calling you today. Come. Matthew 11:28-30. Come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Aren't you tired of all that's going on in the world? Aren't you tired of leading a defeated life? Why not come to our Lord Jesus Christ? He shed His blood for you on Calvary's cross. He loves you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you want this everlasting life, a little simple prayer, just like a little child can do. Lord Jesus Christ, if I have never really asked You into my heart and into my life, I'm asking You here and now to come in and to save me from all my sins. And when you do that, your sins are forgiven. Your name's written in the book of life. And as Romans 8 says, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is given to you through Christ Jesus. Nothing. Yes, your spirit sealed. And when you leave here, you go to be with our Lord forever. And in this life, God's Holy Spirit will work in you, helping you to mortify the flesh, helping you to be more like Jesus so you can do the works of Jesus, so you can be more glorifying to our Heavenly Father. Where can you get a better deal like that? Just ain't one around. So again, I urge you today, before it is too late, seek out the Lord. For those who are born again that have fallen by the wayside, confess your sins. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's right. Your sins that you've committed since will be forgiven. I urge you, seek it out. Do not delay. Be diligent in it. Our Lord has His loving arms open to you. He wants you to come back into the fold. So again, may the Lord grant you the grace and the mercy and peace to be able to follow through this, because it's the best thing that will ever happen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen.